Winning streak, mic check.
5-game mic check.
Now it's time to start the show. Now it's time to start the show.
Welcome to the Two Man Wolfpack. Every week, running it back.
Beam and Webb try to act like they know. Now it's time to start the show. Yo, for show. Let's go.
Two Man Wolfpack. As always, my name is Adam, and dialing in from Chicago is my good friend
Brian.
Brian, today is Tuesday, November 7th, 2017. Happy Election Day, everyone. The Wolves were 5-1 since our last podcast, which was 13 days ago. Brian, it feels real nice to be on a winning streak.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know how to take it. Like, I'm watching these games and we'll be up like 20 with 2 minutes left. I'll be like, and we'll let up like a 5-0 run by the other team and be like, here we go. This is where we blow it.
Yeah, it's weird because then we don't blow it and we win every time.
Yeah, it's strange.
So, quick agenda. News and notes. Good, bad, ugly for the 6 games since our last podcast. A Where Are They Now segment and a mailbag. Some good hard-cutting emails this week. Some hot takes about the pod, which we'll get into in the mailbag segment. TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com is where you can find us or tweet at us at TWolvesPodcast. Brian, quick sort of trivia question before our banter. Do you know how long it's been since the Wolves have won 5 games in a row?
December 2012?
You have to go back farther than that.
Oh, was that the last 4-game?
That was the last 4-game.
I'm going to go with 2007.
In between, so January 10th, 2009 is our last win on a 5-game winning streak.
That was still post-KG, though, right?
Yes, I believe that was post-KG, but it was like 8 years ago. So it is pretty fun that the Wolves are in a little better spot than they have been for a long time. By the way, I missed this in the intro, but we're 7-3, third place in the West, only half a game back of the Warriors and Rockets for first place, and we play Golden State tomorrow night. In Golden State, going to be a tough game, but we got a shot at picking up a game there.
Sorry. So I got distracted because apparently Ben Simmons and Russell Westbrook are the only guys averaging, any points, eight rebounds and eight assists, but I think they're averaging like 18, 8, and 8 above each. So, like, and I'm watching Ben Simmons play. He's really good at
basketball. He's averaging 18, 8, and 8?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I may be a little high on the points. I'm pretty sure it said 18. But, he's really good. In the 2 minutes I've been watching, I've seen him block a three-pointer. He has, like, 3 steal dunks. And he's really fast. He's, like, LeBron fast.
The big knock on him, though, is, or at least was in college, he couldn't really shoot.
I think he's so good it doesn't matter. Like, Giannis can't shoot, but Giannis can score 35. Like,
good point.
Ben Simmons is really fun to watch. He's like quite a bit better than I thought he'd be.
That is fun. Yeah, the 76ers are fun. They're fun to watch. Brian, that's too much basketball related though. How's your life?
Life's good, man. I'm moving to my new dwelling in about 10 days, so I'm pretty pumped for that. Other than that, I went to New York about a week ago for a mystery trip with a girlfriend. That was the destination. We had a great time. Was there for Halloween. We dressed up as ketchup and mustard. My old Heinz costumes from Kraft. Kraft Heinz, I should say.
Who was what?
Oh, I was ketchup, obviously.
Nice. You, that's basically like claiming Batman. And
I know. She can be Batwoman. Yeah, it was fun. What's up with you?
One more follow-up question. How does the mystery trip work? Like, she didn't know where you're going up until when?
Well, one of our friends kind of told her a couple days before, and I figured it would happen at some point. Like, someone was going to tell her. There's no way that people would keep it a secret for just, like, you know. I've been planning it for 2 months, so I just figured at some point someone would tell her. So, but I was pretty happy it made it until then. And then I tried to throw her off the tracks by getting friends from another city to text her and be like, can't wait to see you this weekend. But she knew. She knew.
Okay. Yeah. She's pretty smart. Pretty clever there.
She's too smart for my silly tricks.
well, that's good. exciting times for you, Brian. Traveling with the girlfriend. You have a new house you're moving into. Pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Curb is back. What do you think of Curb so far?
You know, I've read some reviews, and the reviews have been kind of hit or miss. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
It's, in my opinion, it's very much been Curb. Like, it's like if someone tried to... the way I describe it is like if someone tried to make Curb Your Enthusiasm episodes, if that makes sense. Like, it's very quintessential. Like, the like jokes have all been done in prior seasons. It's just nice to have it back because it still makes me laugh, you know?
It is. Just like Larry David's general attitude in the various scenes, like, makes me laugh every time. I don't know how to describe it beyond that. Just like, yeah, it's Curb, and it makes me laugh every week. So I appreciate it.
And I don't know, maybe like none of us are blown away by it just because we've seen a lot of this stuff before. I don't know. I mean, my guess is like it's probably not going to be the best Curb season, but again, it's still better than no Curb. You know what's hilarious? Vice Principals.
Is it really?
Dude, it's really funny. First season, like, not especially funny, kind of funny. But second season is hilarious.
Man, when I see the commercials for that, like, the highlight jokes don't even make me laugh.
Because it's subtle. Did you like Eastbound and Down?
No, not really. And I watched a lot of it.
It's lighter than Eastbound. Eastbound got kind of dark at points. But no, I really like Vice Principals. It makes me laugh. It makes me happy. It's the show on Sundays I most look forward to.
Wow. More than Curb?
Oh, yeah. Way more than Curb. Wow. Curb now, it's like the bits have been done. Like last episode, it was like, I don't want to talk to this guy, and I don't know how to tell him. And like, he went on a date and was like kind of inappropriate. You know, I don't know. That's my gripe with this season is like, we've seen a lot of this.
Fair enough.
How about you? Let's do you and like, let's talk basketball.
Yeah, we'll get into the Wolves. Life is good. We're in the midst of moving. We're selling our house and building a house out in the suburbs. So, that whole process will be done in a few months, which will be nice. Otherwise, son is good. He's a year and a half old now. He's walking around, starting to talk, which is really cool. I do have a kind of a cool experience to talk about, Brian. You ever heard of a float tank?
Nope.
So they were popular probably back in the 60s, 70s, and they're becoming really popular again. Here's what they are. It's basically like a very large bathtub. They put about 1,000 pounds of Epsom salt into this tank. It's all diluted, so it's not like coarse. It's water. But what that does is it makes you super buoyant. So it's actually like difficult to reach the bottom of this tank with like your arm when you're laying in there. So it's really easy to float.
I think I've heard of this. It's Is it like sensory deprivation?
That's exactly right. And then the water and the air temperature are your exact skin temperature. And then there's no sound, and you can have it pitch black if you want. To be honest, didn't love the pitch black experience. I kept a light on most of the time. The idea is that it creates a state for your body where your body has to do zero work. It doesn't need to regulate its temperature. It doesn't need to think about if you're in the water or not to really allow you to just think about your thoughts. So it's kind of like new age hippie stuff, which I'm not fully on board with. But it was a cool experience. I'd recommend people try it out at least once. Only downside, I did get motion sick in it, which is something that would happen to me. So if I'm going to do it again, I'll take a Dramamine or something. Yeah, but very weird experience. Very cool. Recommend it.
Nice.
Should we talk Timberwolves?
Yeah.
Let's do it, Brian. We're going to start, as we did on the last podcast, with some talk of power rankings. We sort of thought we were maybe a little aggressively rated during the last pod, which we were somewhat downers on. I think we're around 9th in the power rankings. This week, Brian, number 4 in the ESPN power rankings and number 6 on the NBA.com power rankings. Again, we are 3rd place in the West, and we have the tied for the 5th best record in the league overall. Brian, are these power rankings justified?
I think the power rankings are intended to be a measure of how a given team is playing at this current moment. So, yes, I think it is. We are playing really well. So versus our pod 2 weeks ago, I think the takeaway is basically that if Jimmy Butler plays, the guys play hard. So, which is, I'm kind of mixed about. So it basically implies like the guys play hard and respect Jimmy Butler, but they don't play hard and respect Tibbs. Is that a fair immediate rash takeaway?
I think that's a fair takeaway. I also think Jimmy Butler just does a bunch of things himself, which help. You know, like, for example, in the Pistons game, which was the only loss since our last podcast, we're outscored 24-0 on transition points. Our transition defense couldn't have been any worse. And I think that's just because Jimmy Butler is really good at that, and he wasn't playing.
That's true. He just, like, knows where to be. If you watch him play defense, he's not, like, making great plays or necessarily, like, smothering guys the whole time. But he just, like, he's one of the only guys who's just always in the right spot. And he just, like, knows where to position himself. When the ball moves, he slides over a little bit. He looks behind him to make sure no one's back cutting. He's just a professional. And, like, I've been so blown away. So going back to your point, I guess, about, like, Jimmy does a lot. Fine, but when Jimmy doesn't play, I think we have enough talent to not lose to, who was it, the Pacers and, was it the Pistons?
Yep, Pacers and Pistons. Pistons, by the way, are 7-3. I mean, they're having a nice season so far.
Yeah, but we're, like, good enough to not lose to them by, you know, 20 at home. So, like,
that is true.
They just didn't show up that game. That's why I was so frustrating last time we potted, but, like, I don't know, man. Watching the games this weekend, like, we're legitimately fun to watch, and not just because of, like, the past couple years we have talented dudes like Wiggins and Towns who do exciting stuff, but we play good basketball right now.
We really do, and your point that we're fun to watch is spot on. It's really fun to watch the Wolves these last couple weeks and this year as a whole. I know, Brian, we've joked in the past of the last probably 3 years, the casual follower of basketball would always say to me, like, ah, yeah, the Wolves are young, and I know they're not winning, but they're really fun to watch. And we would joke that, no, they weren't.
Yeah.
I mean, they really weren't. It's been tough to be a Wolves fan, and I think that's where some of our frustration that comes out sometimes comes from. But they have a legitimate team this year. They play really well. They're dunking on teams just consistently. Our bench, which I have had concerns about, is coming through. And
dude, love the bench. Yeah, Belly, Crawford.
We'll get into some Belly stats in a minute because his stats are ridiculous. It's very enjoyable to watch these games. It's fun to watch us compete against good teams and win in close games. I think we're something like 5-1 in games within 5 points in the last 5 minutes, which is best in the NBA. And then we've blown out some bad teams. Brian, I before the Dallas game a few nights back, you texted myself and Nick and producer John that I think the line was 13.5. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, this is ridiculous. We should pound the Mavericks. And historically, I think you're right, but the team's just different this year, and the Wolves covered that game. So, yeah, it's been a fun ride so far, and it's not going to slow down. I mean, I don't think we're going to finish third in the West, but we're certainly a playoff team. One last Jimmy Butler tidbit, Brian, that Zach Lowe pointed out. He is fifth on the team in usage rate, which is very surprising. I mean, not surprising watching the games, just like before the season started, you know, what would be your guess for Jimmy Butler usage rate on the team? I would guess probably second.
Yeah, maybe third.
Yeah, and the fact that he's fifth, it's pretty great. I mean, he's playing really selflessly.
Yes, he is. Yeah, Jimmy has exceeded my expectations on that front, because if you remember, my big concern was like, oh, you know, all these guys need the ball. Jimmy just backs guys down and plays bully ball. Jimmy's been moving the ball pretty well. He's averaging 4 assists per game, which isn't shocking. Like, that's in line with what he's done before. But, like, he's been really unselfish. He's looking for guys. And I think
having another guy who looks for dudes, because again, Towns and Wiggins don't. Levine did, but if he had a shot, he was going to take it. But like, Teague's looking to pass. Butler's looking to pass. When Crawford comes in, I've actually been really impressed that Crawford's been a better passer than I realized. I didn't know that he was actually a good passer. People are trying to move the ball, and it's been fun. Like, some of these games, we had 30 assists. But yes, Butler. So Butler, by like toning down his usage and just doing what's best for the team, I think has been contagious for a lot of these guys. Like Teague's usage rate, I don't know what it is, but it's probably not that high if he's only getting off. What is he getting off? 11 shots a game. And then Crawford's 9, Belly's 7, and no one else has more than like 4 or 5. It's great. It's been contagious.
It is great. Speaking of great, Brian Bielitsa, as we touched on earlier.
Oh,
here's his.
Tell me more.
Here's his percentages. He's shooting 64% from the field, 63% from beyond the arc, 92% from the line. He has a true shooting percentage of 83% in 15 minutes per game off the bench. I mean, it's not like he's playing 6 minutes a game.
Is he the best player ever?
I realize anyone can go through runs like this, and Bielitsa historically has been somewhat of an up and down player, Brian, but do you think he's turned the corner?
No. He's playing a lot better, but it's Belly. I still love Belly, though. Dude, what I love most about Belly right now is, like, he doesn't shoot three-pointers. He shoots four-pointers. He's always, like, 4 or 5 feet behind the line.
I know, but it's, like, it's a good shot so far this year.
No, it's great. I love it. Are you kidding? But he loves, like, the top-of-the-key straightaway three-pointer from, like, 5 feet beyond the arc. And it just goes in.
I know, and that shot is available 100% of the time.
Well, if he's going to make 63% of them, yeah, make it rain. Keep it going.
I agree.
Do you think Belly should be getting more minutes?
No, I think that his role right now is perfect. It's nice that he's playing so well, because I don't think either of us expected him to be a major contributor on this team. And yeah. he's our best guy off the bench so far this year, which has been nice.
Yeah. Tibbs is still doing kind of line changes. Like, Belly only goes in for Taj. So together they average, you know, right around 48 minutes. Gorgie sometimes will go in for him. But again, like, Gorgie and Towns together average 48 minutes. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't love it. It just feels like we should be able to get more creative with the lineups, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I guess I would like to see Belly play a little bit more at the starters, just to see how the defense holds up if he goes in for Taj. Because offensively, he obviously provides some things that Taj doesn't, mostly in his shooting ability. And he would give that starting lineup three-point ability that they don't have right now.
Yeah. I do think he's also – Tibbs this year has done a little bit better job of staggering the stars. I will say that. Like – we've seen Towns play a little bit with the second unit, Wiggins or Butler. Now that we have three guys who can score on their – well, Zach could score on his own. But, like, you know, I'd trust Butler a little bit more than I trust Zach from a consistency basis. Like, we have three guys who can score. So as long as he leaves one of those guys in with the second unit, we're not going to have these issues like we did last year where everything just crumbles.
Yeah, and it's nice when people are just generally playing better. You can kind of plug in guys and you look smart no matter what. Brian, can we talk about Jeff Teague for a second?
Sure.
So we were, I think deservedly so, really down on Jeff Teague the last time we podcasted.
So we saw four games, we made up our minds.
Since then, he's played, I think, quite well. He's averaging 15, 4, and 10 in his last five games, shooting 42% from the field, but 44% from beyond the arc. Brian, what do you
think?
Yeah,
I'm happy with that. Is that your question?
Well, I don't – like, what's your evaluation of Teague as a whole so far this season?
Like, at expectations, I guess. I didn't think he was that good. I was a little hard on him coming in. I've been happy watching him play. Not a great defender. I liked watching him this past game when he had, like – I forget what the number was. How many assists was it?
He had 12 assists.
He had 12, but he had like 9 in the first half. So he was dishing the ball really well. He had some nice head fakes at the 3-point line, then coming into the lane and dishing it off. That's something that Rubio didn't do because these guys wouldn't respect his drive as much. Rubio is more of a great passer from kind of the top of the key.
He also shot, I'll point out, 4 for 5 from beyond the arc in that last game, which is, I'm assuming something's Rubio maybe never did for the Wolves.
I don't know. Maybe once. But Teague's moving the ball well. He's been a good pick and roll point guard. And I'm okay. You know, he had some really crap games, and he even admitted that himself. Like in those bad games against Detroit and Indiana, he was not the steadying veteran force that he could have been.
He looked completely lost. I mean, yeah. To start the season. I mean, he just did. He was definitely a net negative and a huge disappointment. But maybe he just needed a little bit of time to find his fit with these guys. As we've talked about, they don't get to practice much before the season starts. So it's not like, I mean, he was really just starting to play with this group. Brian, right now, who would you rather have, Rubio or Teague?
Oh, man.
Give me Teague.
You want Teague? Yeah, I mean, we're 7-3. We've won 5 in a row. I'm super biased. Ask me in a month when we're like whatever it is, like 12-10. And Rubio's playing pretty well. I'm watching him right now. He looks great. The hair, the muscles, the tattoos.
I mean, don't get me wrong.
What's not to like?
Yeah, he's having a very nice season. I just think, you know, with Taj on the floor and then you add Rubio, all of a sudden the spacing starts to get a little mucked up. Whereas with Teague, he can actually shoot from beyond the arc and it stretches the defense a little bit. So I think that's just really helped the other guys.
Yeah, and I would say it's not even that his percentages are significantly better than Rubio's, because we've seen that they're not. It's the threat of it. Guys respect him more. And that's part of why Jimmy Butler, I think, it's valuable of a guy like Jimmy Butler. Like, dudes just respect him. Refs respect him. Opposing players respect him. They're like, oh, I'm not going to drive against this guy. It's Jimmy Butler. And I think that stuff makes a big difference. But Rubio, like, no one respected the shot because everyone knows he's a bad shooter. So he would shoot like 35%, but a lot of it was wide open.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think the spacing helps. It does feel like Andrew has a little bit more room to work this year. He's looked really good going to the basket. And his mid-range game, he still shoots some unnecessarily hard shots. Shots looked fairly good.
Yeah, Wiggins has looked, I think, great going to the basket. I think the max contract, as of this moment, I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's averaging like less than 20 points a game and doesn't play great defense yet and is a max player, but...
Yep, and he's 22.
Well, he averaged more points last year, so regression.
I mean, our offense is way better.
I'm joking. I know. I have been pretty happy with this play lately. Like, what's weird is when you watch him, sometimes he'll bust out these awesome passes where he, like, drives. He'll, like, draw 3 guys and kick it out to a wide-open dude. But he's still averaging less than 1.5 assists per game. Like, what's weird is he has it in there. It just never comes out.
Yeah, I think he makes up for it with his ridiculous dunks. He's had some dunks that are like all-timers already this year.
Yeah. No, I've been happy. His spin move looks awesome. He's cutting. It seems like he's cutting more.
Yeah, he seems a lot more active on offense.
Yes, he does. And in the past couple games, at least that I've watched, a little bit less lost on defense, which is nice.
Yeah, I remember in past years, one of our big criticisms of Wiggins was he would take about probably 6 possessions off per game on offense where he would just stand in the corner and literally not be involved, and those have gone away this year.
And I don't know if it's just, again, having more professionals on the court at once, but the ball's moving. The offense looked good. Guys are cutting. It looks like we're running plays that – is more than just like ISO Wiggins or ISO Towns. I mean, it still happens sometimes, but the last couple games have been fun to watch. We're playing well.
Oh, it's been really fun to watch. I get almost too happy watching some of these games. Like I get giddy.
I do too.
It's and I think part of that is that they are fun to watch and they're competitive this year. Part of that is it's just been so long since we've had a team like this. So that's nice.
Can we talk about, have you noticed Towns' defense?
The last two games, you mean?
Sure. Our last three, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it's been improved the last, I think, two is what I've noticed. Ever since Zach Lowe wrote in his 10 Things article 4 days ago that Towns' D has been awful this year, somehow Towns decided to step it up.
Yeah, I've noticed lately he's been going for a lot more blocks. In the past two games at least, he definitely had two or three goaltendings that weren't called. I think it was the last game where there was like a floater that I think Kaminsky shot and Towns just grabbed it right in front of the rim. And they didn't call goaltending. It was really unclear as to why, but good for him. But you know what? He's been more active, and at least if he's helping out, maybe he's making dudes think twice. He's just really bad on-ball defender, and he still has this issue with rebounds lately where he has a hard time corralling them. But I've been much more pleased with his defense. I haven't noticed him being a bad defender for the past couple games. Yeah, so I'm hoping it's a reversal and an increase in confidence, but we'll see.
Yeah, me too. And he's been a pretty big beast offensively the last few games as well. So that's been a plus.
He was really fun to watch in the Dallas game. He gets to the rim so quick when he wants to.
That Dallas game was just fun overall. It's so rare that the Wolves just have a wire-to-wire blowout over the last 14 years, basically.
I know.
It was nice.
What's funny is Dallas covered.
Dallas did cover?
Yeah, we only won by 13.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. I thought the Wolves covered.
No.
That was kind of a backdoor cover, though, wasn't it? Weren't we up by, like, 18 with, like, a few
Oh, yeah, we're
left?
Up by a ton. Yeah. They closed it out right at the end. So here's the thing about Towns. Were you worried by his performance against the Pelicans?
No,
2 points,
I wasn't.
5 rebounds in 23 minutes?
Yeah, so I know that was his worst game of the year. It was against the Pelicans, but man.
Four turnovers?
Yeah, you're going up against Boogie and Anthony Davis. It's just a tough assignment for a center. I don't really fault him for a bad game there.
Taj had 11 and 12.
Yeah, I know. I mean, were you concerned?
Nah, it's fine. It's a tough matchup.
Yeah.
Sometimes he plays great against those guys. He just didn't this week.
It's a very tough matchup. It's just one game. Brian, the Wolves are third in the NBA in offense and 11th in defense. Which one are you more surprised about?
The defense.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I don't know. Last year, we were terrible at defense. The first four games, we were terrible at defense. And now we're actually playing good defense. And we're winning a lot, which is nice.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. It's a toss-up for me. I'm pretty surprised we'd be third in offense at the beginning of the season. If I were to guess where we'd be right now prior to the season, I'd say, like, we'd be 10th in offense and 20th in defense, maybe.
Yeah.
So this has been surprising on both fronts. And again, it's been fun basketball. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, the offense, and I think the big difference that we didn't expect in the offense was the bench can score now. Jamal, I've been really pleased with Jamal Crawford.
We're still getting good variance, Jamal.
Yeah, I know. But he's moving the ball more than I thought he would. I thought he would just, like, I just remember him, like, crossing over and jacking up shots. But, like, he's getting other guys involved. Dude seemed to really like him. There's been a couple articles written lately about how he's the best teammate ever. I don't know. I've been very happy with him. And it's helped. And Tyus has shot threes relatively well. That's kind of all he can do now.
He has not looked bad. And I'm, as everyone knows, not a big Tyus fan. He's been a solid backup point guard so far.
Yeah. The nice thing is I haven't noticed him being bad. But yeah, Belly's been fantastic off the bench. Gorgie's given us some pretty good minutes off the bench. I think Gorgie's destiny is being a very overqualified, like, bench guy.
Absolutely. This is his ideal role. It's tough how much money we're paying him to do it. But
$1 million per minute.
But I mean, it's a great role for him, and absolutely he's looked good.
Yeah, like against Charlotte, he was a beast. 15-11 and 19 minutes. New Orleans 12-8. He got 25 minutes in that game. That's fine. But yeah, I like Gorgie off the bench. You know, if he's only playing 15 minutes when he makes his couple silly plays, like, they don't hurt us as much. You know, it's two instead of four. And frankly, again, if he plays 30 minutes, he averages 11 and, you know, he averages like 10 and 9. He plays 15. He averages 7 and 6 or something.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you on the whole. The bench has been more effective offensively than I would have ever imagined.
Yeah. Sorry. And last gushing point. I've been actually really happy with Taj the last 5 games. He's been shooting the ball very well. His mid-range is definitely better than I thought it was. And he's getting after it on the boards. Having him up front has helped kind of offset Towns somewhat.
Yeah, I think we both thought Taj would be a nice fit on the team, but I didn't expect him to average. You know, he's averaging 9 points per game on the season, 11 in the last 5 games. That's been surprising. And the last 3 games, Brian, he's averaged 10 rebounds per game, which has been very surprising. Yeah, I agree. Taj has been great. He's excelling at the role you would hope he would be good at.
Yes, and he averages more assists than Wiggins, so another guy who moves the ball for his role. So I've been happy with Taj.
Yeah, me too. Brian, okay, moving
I
on.
I love everyone. I love everyone on the team right now.
Oh, we're so happy after 5 wins in a row.
Yeah, well, talk to us when it's been 10 in a row.
You know what's crazy, Brian? In the 7 years or whatever we've been doing this podcast, we've never won 5 in a row. This is the first time ever.
That is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit ridiculous to think about. But anyways, Brian, moving on. Glenn Taylor said in a radio interview with 1500 ESPN that Kevin Garnett has not responded to the Wolves' attempts to contact him regarding retiring his number. Apparently the Wolves have been trying to do this for in excess of a year. Garnett has been unresponsive. I'm going to speculate and say it's because of how his time in Minnesota ultimately ended. Brian, they got to figure this out.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got to be everyone's favorite living Minnesota athlete, right?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, he by far the best Timberwolf ever. I mean, it's like Garnett.
Good call. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for clarifying that. I don't know. Like Twins. I don't know. Everyone kind of loves Molitor, but he was just kind of a, you know, I think everyone's kind of over him now. Right.
Yeah. Molitor.
But
level.
He was like a solid guy, but he was never like Kirby.
Yeah. He's not on the same level as Garnett.
Yeah, Vikings, I don't know. Randy Moss was the man, but then he was less charming.
No, Moss isn't as popular as Garnett.
Yeah, it's definitely Garnett.
The Wild, I don't know anything about hockey, but...
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't name anyone on the team right now, so...
Yeah, I could name one player.
Nice.
Two players.
Yeah, I got nothing. Yeah, so it's not even close. He's definitely the most famous... most loved Minnesota athlete. Why do you think it's so bad?
If I remember right, Flip convinced Garnett to come back to the team, came back under the impression that he was going to have some long-term role. There's talk of him being an owner. There's talk of him possibly having some sort of front office role. And then obviously Flip passed away somewhat unexpectedly. And, Sam Mitchell stepped up, was the coach, was ultimately let go, and Garnett was a vocal fan of Sam Mitchell. And then Garnett still had a year on his contract, and I believe we bought him out. The situation ended up not being what Garnett hoped it would be. And from Garnett's perspective, I'm guessing that he hoped that Glenn Taylor would step up after Flip's passing probably and kind of like still – support what Flip had in mind. And this is all speculation, but it seemed like that maybe didn't happen for whatever reason, and it seems like Garnett is still hurt over it. Do you think that's a decent take?
Yeah, it sounds like it. I think it seems like what happened is like he was came with the impression it was one thing, and Flip passed away, and I'm guessing Taylor kind of said, that's not what I had planned, so you can go. And he's probably really hurt and pissed, and I don't blame him.
Yeah, I guess. Who? I mean, we don't know what conversations took place. We have no idea. But all I know is Garnett, he's the greatest Timberwolf of all time. He made a ton of money here. Many of those checks were written by Glenn Taylor. And, you know, no one could have predicted Flip's passing. So I'm sure that was hard for everyone involved. But they got to figure it out. Garnett, come back. Let the Wolves retire your number.
Yeah.
Brian, that's all I have for news and notes.
Oh, that's it?
That was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
Choose your own adventure. Where are they now? Good, bad, ugly.
Where are they now?
Totally awesome. Where are they now?
All right. Let's get into it. Where are they now? As always, Brian, stop me when you know who this is. Born in Holon, Israel, he began playing for the...
Omri Caspi.
You are correct. You know what? I thought about omitting the born in Israel part of this, but decided to keep it in. Good job.
Thanks. Keep going, though.
Okay. He began playing for the Maccabi Tel Aviv youth team at age 13. At age 17, he made his professional debut for Maccabi Tel Aviv. And in 2008, he declared for the NBA draft, but ultimately withdrew after he wasn't guaranteed a first-round selection by any team. He then declared for the 2009 NBA draft, where he was selected in the first round by the Sacramento Kings. After being drafted by the Kings, he was traded a couple years later to the Cavs. Bounced around the league for a while, playing for Houston, the Kings again, the Pelicans, the Timberwolves had a cup of coffee with them last year. And then ultimately, he is currently with the Warriors on a 1-year, $2.1 million deal, where he's playing 8 minutes per game and averaging 4, 2.7, and 0.7 points, rebounds, assists. Brian, it's good to see him still in the league. Were you surprised he signed with Golden State?
I don't know. He's kind of a journeyman who's... He couldn't even stick around on the Wolves, so I think if he can play for the minimum, I think Golden State's the best place to do it.
Yeah, that's true. And he kind of fits the mold there, right? He can slash, he can shoot threes. He's playing, frankly, mostly garbage time minutes. With Golden State, they win a lot of games by 30, so most of his minutes have come in blowout wins. You know what, though? I wish the Wolves still had him.
And he'd get Shabazz's minutes?
Yeah, absolutely. Who would you rather have, Boz or Caspi?
I don't think it matters, to be honest.
They're really different players, I think.
I don't know. I feel bad for Shabazz. 3 years ago, he was coming off the bat. You know, he's lighting the world on fire. He's averaging like 15 and 8, on like kind of off the bench, kind of starting. And now he just like, I see him struggling to make much more than his minimum contract right now, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm not sure he will. I'm not sure he's a long-term NBA guy. He's definitely not going to not be in the NBA next year, but like 5 years from now, it's unclear to me.
Yeah. It's too bad. He should have taken more money. I said this repeatedly, but okay. Go ahead.
I'm sure he agrees with you. So that was a quick Where Are They Now? I thought it was relevant given that we're going to be playing Caspi tomorrow night in Golden State.
Nice. For first place in the West.
I know, it's kind of cool. Brian, my only knock on this game is that it starts at like 9:30 our time. I'm old. I don't think I'm going to make it till midnight.
I still get, like on the East Coast, what do? You stay up till 1 a.m. to watch a freaking West Coast NBA game? It's so absurd.
It's brutal. I feel like the West Coast game should start at 6:30.
Yeah, right? Like 7:30, no one on the West Coast is like... Oh, 6:30 is too early. Like, no, 6:30 is perfect. You leave work at like 5:36, go to the game, grab a beer.
I agree. I very much agree. Let's get into some games.
Let's do it.
Most of these, luckily, are going to be good, better, bads this week. Brian, let's just fly through the one loss. This is a 122-101 loss at Detroit. As I mentioned earlier, the Wolves were outscored 24-0 in fast break points. Our defense completely broke down without Jimmy Butler. Bozzi was slotted into that starting spot. You know, didn't go so well.
Not so good.
Yeah, not so good.
Didn't bring great defense. In 29 minutes, he put up 4 points on 1-for-9 from the field.
Let up a lot of points.
Four rebounds. Yeah, he did. Four rebounds, one assist. I'm assuming that assist was the ball slipped out of his hands and went to another Wolf player. Brian, my good for this one is going to go to Teague. He put up 18, 2, and 6, 8-for-14 from the field. Mostly going to Teague because this was really the start of Teague turning around. His poor start to the season, actually showed up for this one and had a really nice game.
Agreed. You could have gone with Wiggins. He was pretty efficient, 21 points on 12 shots. But I'm good with Teague. Bad, I'm going to go with bad variance, Jamal Crawford, 3-for-12. A few assists and rebounds, and only minus 10, which is better than some of the starters. But overall, not a great game. But, you know, these are the games you get with him.
That is very true. Ugly, it's got to go to Bozzi, as I just mentioned. I'm not going to repeat the stat line, but just very big downgrade from Jimmy Butler.
Which sucks. I love him. He plays hard, but he's just like, he should not be starting.
Yeah, so I love him too. He does play hard. Seems like a really good guy. The one thing he could change is he's such a black hole on offense, and he's always been that way. And I feel like he could make his offensive game a lot more dynamic, where they could run the ball through him at times and not know it's going to result in a shot by him. I mean, it just seems like
mystery into it.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like a change he could make to his game with not a lot of effort that would impact him and the team for the better. So
that's true. Yeah. All right, let's roll through some more of these.
All right, Brian, next game, 119-116 win at home against the Thunder. We have the Thunder's number.
And the Thunder.
We're 2-0 against them so far this year.
I hate that song, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. The Wolves kind of tried to lose this one at the end, but they just weren't able to do it. They did pull it out. Brian, this was a very fun game. Not quite as fun as the win we had in OKC, but I very much enjoyed it. Who is your good?
I mean, the good, saving the better in... I thought we did good, better, best when we win.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, you said good, better, bad before. Saving better and best. My good is definitely going to be Taj Gibson. 16 points, a lot for him. 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Almost to the 5x5, but not really. But no, happy with his play. And it's not like the forwards on the Thunder went nuts, but they had strong games. But Taj playing some offense, I'm happy with it.
My better is our aggressiveness on offense. We got to the line 35 times. OKC got to the line 25 times. OKC is a team that generally gets to the free throw line, most notably Russell Westbrook. And the fact that we out-aggressive them on offense was really encouraging.
Yeah, and I will say best. One thing that's been noticeable lately, Taj and especially Towns is a huge part of this in this game. I mean, best is clearly Towns. He had 33 and 19 and 4 blocks against Steven Adams, a proper center. Is our rebounding margin was the point I wanted to make. We've been out rebounding teams lately by quite a bit, and Taj and Kat, and then Jimmy obviously helps, and Wiggins is getting a little bit more rebounds this year. He's averaging 5, which for him is actually really good. I've just been really happy with seeing guys going after the ball and not giving up as many second chance shots.
Yeah, you got to give a shout out to Towns on that point. 19 rebounds in this one, 4 blocks, 33 points. Pretty
massive. Just said all of that. Yeah.
Massive game.
Okay, should we go to the next one?
Yeah, we're moving on. 125-122 win at Miami. Again, sort of a game we're trying to lose. we had a few point lead with not much time remaining in the fourth quarter. Ultimately, Miami ties it up. We go into overtime and squeak it out in overtime. We were one Dion Waiters, probably 30 footer away from going into double overtime. Brian, I'll give my good for this one. I'm going to give it to Towns, very efficient. 7 for 10 from the floor, 20 points, 12 rebounds, 3 blocks, 1 steal. Just really solid game.
Yeah. And I will say this game goes totally counter to everything I just said, where Bam Adebayo had 10 offensive rebounds on his own. Give my better to Jeff Teague, 23 points, 11 assists, 5 rebounds, 6 steals. He was actually close to the 5x5, but didn't get there on the blocks.
My best, once again, goes to the Wolves for getting to the line and actually making the free throws in this one. 32 for 35 from the line was absolutely the difference maker. In comparison, Miami was 17 for 25. It helps when you make almost twice as many free throws as the other team.
That is helpful. 16 steals, by the way. Miami, sloppy with the ball. But our defense was pretty good. 16's a buttload of steals.
Yeah, 16's a big number. I will point out it helps that Whiteside is injured and did not play in this game.
Yeah. Their starting lineup is not particularly scary with Bam Adebayo and Johnson in there.
No, it is not. Moving on, 104-98 win at New Orleans. This is one you referenced earlier, Brian, where Towns had a pretty down game, but luckily he was lifted up by our bench, which put up something like 45 points, I think, which is fairly incredible for our bench. I don't know whose turn it is to go good, but I'll just say it's our bench for scoring 45 points.
Yeah, outscored their bench 45-17. I think that was the difference in the game. And better, I'm going to go to – let's go with Jimmy. Jimmy hasn't got enough love yet. Jimmy scored the ball well, got to the line, attacked, but did his thing. 4 rebounds, couple assists, 3 steals. I don't know. I just like having Jimmy out there.
Best, it has to go to Belly.
12
points off the bench, 5 for 6 from the field, including 2 for 3 from beyond the arc. Also put up 4 rebounds, 2 steals, only 2 turnovers.
Shout.
Nice game, Belly. Next game was a 99-112 win at home against Dallas. This is the one we've talked about where apparently Dallas did cover the 13.5-point spread. Brian, where's your good going?
My good is going to team basketball. The Timberwolves, 33 assists on 43 field goals made. Ball was moving all over the place. Teague at 10 assists. Butler at 7 assists. Gibson at 4. Even Wiggins had 2 for fun. It was just great. This one was really fun to watch.
My better is going to Thibodeau for finding a way to play 13 players in this game. 2 of them were only for 1 minute at the very end, but it's very un-Thibodeau-like. I'm surprised he still didn't have the starters in, so credit to him.
Yep. And a little trivia question for you. For qualified players, where do you think Belly ranks in the NBA in three-point percentage right now?
Man, really high. Third.
First, son.
I should have just guessed first.
I know. He is first. Number 2 is Corey Joseph at 61%. Belly's at 63%. Next guy is Ray Felton, 57%. Aaron Gordon somehow at 56%. And then CJ McCollum has shot twice as many threes as Belly and still at 55%, which is really impressive. I'm going to go with Wiggins. Wiggins was, again, super efficient. 23 points on 14 shots. Just driving to the basket, hitting open threes. He hit 2 for 4 from the three-point line. Shot some hard mid-range shots, but they generally went in. Overall, just like a really nice, efficient game. He wasn't the best. I don't think he's why we won. I think ball movement. But, you know, it's nice when he's playing well.
Hey, guys. Adam here. We had some technical difficulties at the end of the podcast, mostly on my end. I think my mic became unplugged, and when I plugged it back in, for some reason, the recording software we use did not pick me up. So it was just Brian talking to himself for the last 20 minutes or so. So anyways, no mailbag this week, but we will read all the emails that we received in the last week or so. And please keep them coming. TimberwolvesPodcast@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at T-Wolves Podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Sorry, this got a little weird at the end with the audio cutting out. Also, slight delay on getting it up because of that. I know the Golden State game was last night now, and the winning streak is over. But hopefully you enjoy the optimistic podcast, and we'll be back soon. Thanks, everyone, for listening, including the international listeners. Bye.
Bye.